Philippians chapter number 4. This afternoon, I'd like to speak to you about this theme, the gifts keep coming. The gifts keep coming. And as you have been here, you will know that we have been spending, I don't know how many weeks, I didn't go back and see, but numerous Sundays started in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1, and now finishing up at the end of Philippians chapter number 4. Also, I'd like to encourage you, if you were unable to be here on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday of the Missions Conference, all three of those messages are on our church Vimeo account, and I would encourage you to take some time over the next week or so to go back and listen to the preaching that we heard Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. I believe it would be very helpful to you. Heavenly Father, thank you now as we come to this, what we believe to be the concluding message of the book of Philippians. Thank you for all that we've learned. And I pray today that you'd continue to teach us from your word. Thank you for the special and for all the congregational singing in each part of the meeting thus far. In Jesus' name, amen. What a great time it has been to see the life of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. And remember that as he's writing this book, he's not sitting more than likely in a very comfortable setting. He's sitting in a prison in Rome. And it's not really, I'm sure, where he wanted to be. I'm sure it's not where any of us would want to be. But the spirit of the letter is one of great joy. The spirit of the letter is one of satisfaction. I mean, he says here, I have all. I don't need anything. I have everything that I could ever need. And think about that as he's writing this to the church at Philippi. And here in these closing verses, once again, he continues to rejoice over the fact that this church at Philippi continues to help him, specifically giving to him and giving to his missionary journeys. I find it quite interesting that we end the book of Philippians right after the missions conference because I believe it is very applicable in considering that here's Paul, a missionary. Here's Paul, like the 30, praise the Lord, we support 37 missionary families and individuals and one printing ministry. Think about that. Anchor Baptist Church is sending out financial support to 38 different groups of people on a monthly, we do it quarterly, but it's monthly level of support. And that check is sent out, and it's not only sent out, it's sent out, I'm sure, with much prayer on behalf of what those missionaries are doing on the front lines, taking the gospel to those that need it, and everybody needs the gospel. And Paul is saying, hey, it's such a blessing to me that you're continuing to meet my needs. You're continuing to take care of those things that, you know, I don't want to have to think about, but he's saying, you know, I have everything that I need, as we read there, and we'll look into that in just a moment. And what we must understand as well is that their giving was not from wealth. Their giving was from a level of poverty. You know, and again, poverty, we think of the word poverty, and I know immediately where most of our minds go to. And yes, we are. We may not have all of the income that we think we should have, but we are very well off, comparatively speaking. Paul is saying, hey, thank you. That's how this message ends. And so, but let's just make a little bit more application than thank you, okay? Number one, let's see the results of the giving. The results of the giving. Look at verses 16 and 17. The Bible says there, for even in Thessalonica, as ye sent once and again. You didn't just send me a love offering. You sent me once and again, and again, and again, unto my what? Necessity. You know, hey, Paul had some necessities that he needed met. Hey, our missionaries out there, they have some necessities that they're depending on Anchor Baptist Church to have a part in providing. Verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Letter A, let's see the ministry that is abounding. The ministry that is abounding. Remember, number one, the results of giving. What were one of those results? That the ministry is abounding. Look back up at verses 15 and 16 quickly, if you would. Notice here. Read through that as I'm going to make some observations. Verse 15. Paul is relating how this church had sent financial support to him even as far back as when he first left Philippi and started the church at Thessalonica 100 miles away. Again, their support continues while Paul is in prison and they are flourishing. Did you see that in verse number 15? In the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, only you communicated with me. Only you were giving. And the ministry was thriving. The ministry was growing. You know what? Giving always results in ministry that is growing. But you think about that for a moment. We are giving to missionaries that we love dearly. You know, we don't get a chance to go visit all the missionaries even once a year. It's impossible. But you know what? They send us notes. They send us a letter. They send us an email. They put something on their ministry Facebook page. This afternoon, Brother Reimer put a note on his Facebook page. If you're friends with Brother Reimer, I shared it to our church page. One Liberian man got saved today after the service at Temple Baptist Church. We just saw their video. It was a man, get this, it was a man who had been in church for 3 years and thought he was saved because he had a head knowledge of the gospel. Well, how many people, you've been coming to church for 3 years? Don't raise your hand. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying, well, first off, I was greatly encouraged. Here's one soul that got saved. He spent over an hour with the man after the service, carefully explaining the gospel. Why? Because the man wanted to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And so he came to Brother Reimer and said, I don't want to be baptized. I want to get baptized. And so Brother Reimer said, tell me about your salvation. And it wasn't clear. And an hour and a half later, this man said something like this. I get it. I understand. And he got saved right there. Except the Lord. Hey, what I'm saying is, we send the Reimers so much money a month, and what happens? They take the gospel that we're giving out here, they take that same gospel to the streets of Monrovia, Liberia, and all the highways and the little byways and the little bumpy roads. We saw the journey from their house to the church. Wow, what an adventure. And they went through car wash there. That's funny. If you've not seen it, you got to see it. And they literally looked like they went through a car wash. Not much of a car wash. But that's what the community is called. What I'm saying is here is when we give unto the Lord and we give to these missionaries, the ministry is growing. Now, we may not hear of thousands getting saved, but we don't have to hear of thousands getting saved. We can hear of one getting saved. We can hear of the gospel going out faithfully. And you know what that does? It doesn't return void. God's word doesn't return void. The more we give, the more it grows. Think of it. We have a few more $1,000 committed for this calendar year. You know what that means? We're going to be able to give more money to the missionaries. We're going to be able to broaden our vision. Maybe we're going to hit 40. God willing, we're going to hit 40. Take on two more, we'll be at 40. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? That means we have more people to pray for. That means that every 24 hours, somewhere in the world, think about it. I don't know how far ahead New Zealand is. Anybody know how far ahead New Zealand is? Is it 23 hours? When you figure it out, let me know, okay? As long as it's not in the middle of the night. I just know this. I think they're the furthest away from people that we support. Let's just say it that way. We support the Hutchins family in New Zealand. Long before we go to bed on Saturday night, we know what's happened. I think they've probably already had church. Brother Sam's already stood behind the pulpit and preached the gospel. And people have been hearing the gospel in the country of New Zealand. And part of that is because Anchor Baptist Church is supporting that ministry. And that ministry has a Chinese ministry now. And that ministry is looking at getting their own building. And that ministry is growing. Why? Because the gospel doesn't return void. And as Paul was getting, think about all that Paul was involved in. Not only one missionary journey, two missionary journeys, three missionary journeys. And all the people that Paul was able to rub shoulders with and share the gospel with. You see, as we give, ministry abounds. Faith promised missions, the more we have, the more we can send. And I'm not asking for more money. I'm just saying this is the facts. This is the encouragement from what God has done in our heart over the last week. The more we send, the more ministry can be accomplished. Wherever those missionaries are located. Letter A, ministry is abounding. Letter B, fruit that is abundant. Fruit that is abundant. Paul makes sure to remind these generous believers that they have eternal dividends in their account. They have eternal dividends in their account. You know, we have online banking now. How many of you use online banking? How many of you do not use online banking? Okay, that's fine. No problem. I'm just curious. I don't know why I was curious, but anyway. Curiosity killed the cat, I think. But anyway, poor cat. Why was I talking about online banking? Oh, dividends. Bank account. It's coming back to me. You know, every once in a while, I log on to my account and I see and just make sure. You know, in the old days, when I first got my bank account, I still have the bank book from the first account I ever opened. I still have that account open, by the way. I haven't closed it yet. It's in a credit union in Michigan. And I just went back there a couple of weeks ago, and I went into the credit union and said, hey, do you remember me? No, I didn't say that. But I went in there, and I did a little bit of banking so that because if you don't do anything for a long period of time, they start taking a dollar or two out of your account. And I don't like losing any money at all that way anyway. But I did a little bit of banking just to keep that thing going. And my dad was there. My dad said, you still have that account? I said, yep. I'm not closing it either. I'm keeping that account going. My first bank account. That's a big deal. No, hardly any money in it, but it's a big deal. You know what? We may not have many dividends here. We may not have a whole lot of interest in our accounts here. But Paul says, I don't desire this for myself. I'm full. Notice what he said in verse number 17. I don't need a gift. He said, I desire fruit. I mean, praise God when we get those prayer letters in and we read about what God is doing amongst our missionaries, and we hear of a young person that is helped. We hear of someone that is getting saved, and that is fruit that is abounding to the Anchor Baptist Church account as we support these missionaries, and to God be the glory. Here's a quote. Paul looked on their missionary gift as an investment that would pay them rich spiritual dividends. The word communicate in verse 14, if you glance up at verse 14, is our familiar word fellowship. We get our word fellowship. The church entered into an arrangement of giving and receiving. The church gave materially to Paul. I think this is really good that we're on this today too, because some of you have only been in Anchor Baptist Church for a few months. We're glad you're here. But the Bible is all about missions. God's heartbeat is missions. Look, the gospel was given to you because God loves you. God wanted you to be saved, and God wanted me to be saved. And so what does he use? He uses the gospel. And we have the opportunity not only to have the gospel be given here amongst us, but we have the opportunity that God would call someone to go to where in the summer the highest it gets is about 10 degrees Celsius. That's a heat wave in Greenland in the summertime. And brother Gilbert said, people running around in shorts. 10 degrees. Man, I'm not wearing shorts in 10 degrees. Give me a coat in 10 degrees. But you know what? I don't remember what he said, 20-some thousand people in that, was it Irk or Ark or something like that? The capital, I done forgot. But there's people there, no Baptist church in that capital city of Greenland. You know what? God willing, we can partner with them. God willing, we can, as this quote said, we can give materially to them. Most of our missionaries we support between $75 and $150 a month. $100, $150, somewhere in there. That's not a lot of money. But when they have 75 to 100 churches supporting them, they can get enough together to get there and live, pay the rent. He's not going to be able to go out and have a job necessarily like we would have. So we're going to give to them materially so that, and because we give to them materially, we receive spiritually. You see, it's such a blessing the way God designed this. We get to give to the work of the Lord, and then God gives back to us. And it doesn't always come in bags of money. fact, I've never been given a bag of money at my front door. I've never had a bag of money show up at my house. I have had some checks. I guess that would be unexpected. Money has come many times over, and I praise the Lord for it. But that's what Paul is saying here. You see, a poor church is one that does not share materially with others. That's a poor church. I've been in third world countries. And most every third world country I've been in, the churches I've been in, they support missionaries. What a testimony! When I was in Uganda, they brought me a bag, and I wasn't necessarily there to receive anything from them. I wanted to give to them, but they didn't want to just take and take and take and take. Isn't that amazing? And they said, "Here, Pastor, we have this bag of coffee beans for you." I don't know, word got out. Word got out all the way over in Uganda. Word got out. And they gave me a whole bag of green coffee beans. They hadn't even been roasted yet. And then the missionary that I was with, Brother Trock, he knew how to roast them. Smoke all over the house. His wife wasn't too happy about that. But he said, "It's okay if we do it just once in a while." He roasts those coffee. What I'm saying is, giving, giving, giving. God always blesses giving. And a poor church is one that is not willing to share materially. And I am thankful by God's grace that for almost 19 years, Anchor Baptist Church continues to have a giving spirit. May it always be that way. And if it is, we're going to see God's continued blessing. We're going to see those more of those wonders that we heard about on Wednesday night. That word desire there is in the present tense. You see that word desire. Desire. Paul desired for fruit to continually abound to their account. He speaks in chapter 1 verse 11. I won't turn back for time's sake. But he speaks in chapter 1 verse 11 of fruits of righteousness. Paul had a desire not just once, but that continually there would be fruit abounding. That word fruit there in the text is often used in Scripture as to denote results. I think we understand that. We're not talking about a pear or an apple. We're talking about results of what has been given. Quickly turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be back in our text. But 1 Corinthians 15, as we continue to support the work of the Lord, we are securing eternal fruit to our account, both individually and as a church. What a blessing. What a blessing to have a small part. There's nothing small in the work of God. When you give something small to God, it quickly does not stay small. It becomes big. Because it's the heart that matters. That little lady gave two mites. That's small. Those guys with lots of money, they were given all kinds of money. But Jesus said, "Hey, take note of that. For that's big. That's big in my eyes," because she didn't have anything left over. It's not the amount of the gift. It's the heart that it's given from. And I thank God for how He blesses and has continued to bless as we obey His word. Look at verse 58 of chapter number 15. Many of you have memorized it. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Steadfast. What's steadfast? Well, the next word helps us a little bit. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." When you filled out that faith promise card and you put it in, and we added them all up together, and you know, we're still, you know, you think, don't think on all the bigness. Just think, hey, this is amazing that Anchor Baptist Church is committed to do this for the Lord and for His honor and for His glory, and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Our labor, whether it's in the offering plate or whether it's getting some gospel tracts, if you don't have any of these, get some today and hand them out. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. God blesses our labor. And we see here from our text that there was great results in giving. Great results. There was fruit that was abounding. There was ministry that was abounding. Number two, we see also there was praise for giving. Praise for giving. Look back please in our text in verse number 18. Paul said, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Praise, forgiving. Thank you. Thank you, Philippians. I'm full. I'm abounding. You know what? Pretty much 100% of our missionaries, I know they can't get personal with every church because that'd take forever to address a personal letter to every church that supports them. But they put somewhere in there this kind of thing. We are so thankful that you're praying for us. We are so thankful that you are giving, that we might be wherever we are giving the gospel. That's what Paul is saying here. Their offering was a spiritual sacrifice laid on the altar to the glory of God. Think about some sacrifices. You see where he says that there? A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I started thinking about that word sacrifice for a few minutes. Turn quickly to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Sacrifice. He said, your offering, it was a sacrifice. It was well-pleasing to the Lord. It was a sweet-smelling savor. Sacrifice, that's a very challenging word, isn't it? Sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, again, many of you have it memorized. If not, these are some good verses to memorize. Verse number 1, we're going to see something here about sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Bodies. Okay, this is talking literally about our body. This right here. This flesh. Present this body as a what kind of sacrifice? A living sacrifice. Hey, praise God, all of us here today are still alive. Amen? Amen. You know, last Sunday, Brother Buddy was in church somewhere. Today, he's in church with Jesus. He can't present his body a living sacrifice anymore. He's run his race. I never met the man. Google his music. You're going to be blessed. Beautiful music. Only God could do that. He gave his talent to the Lord. What I'm saying is, Paul says here, hey, we need to do as believers, we need to sacrifice, yes, to give to the missionaries, but we need to sacrifice our bodies. What do you mean? Well, this body that God has given me, I need to use it for the glory of God. You know what? The flesh wants me to use this to glorify the flesh. The world wants me to use this to glorify the world. But God says, hey, give me your body as a living sacrifice. Now, some people are going to give their bodies and they're going to go to Greenland. That's what the Gilberts are doing. They've answered the call. I don't think all of us in here are called to go to Greenland. I'm not being funny about that. I'm being very serious. But all of us are called to do this, present our bodies a living sacrifice. Everybody here. If you're a Christian, God is saying, I want your life. And by the way, don't bristle your shoulders. It's not your life. It's his life. You and I as Christians were bought with a price. We're there. Glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. Notice it says there, present your body as a living sacrifice. How? Holy. Holy. What does that mean? It means without sin. I should want to sin less every day. How am I going to sin less every day? I got to be in this book. This book is what cleanses me. This book is what helps me to say no to the flesh, the devil, the world. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Our body. Hey, does God have any of your time for service for him? You know, I hope we all gave our faith promise. If you give monthly, maybe you're not going to give it this week, you're going to give it next week. But if you're weekly, every week, we want to put that in there. And that's wonderful, but that does not nullify giving our bodies as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It means we need to give God time. Give God time. Give God some service. Sacrifice. Quickly, turn over to Hebrews 13. Sacrifice. Think about that word. What are we sacrificing? Are we sacrificing? Sacrifice is relative, though, when you think about it. We're not to look at somebody else and say, well, I don't know if I am or no. No, no, you're to look at the Word of God and you're to look to heaven and say, how can I be better, more of a sacrifice? How can I sacrifice my body more for you? That's not purposely running into cars. That's not that. It's using my living body as a testimony for the glory of God. Notice it says living sacrifice. When are we going to die? I don't know, but I'll tell you what. I want to spend every moment that I can as a sacrifice for the Lord. Does he deserve it? Is he worthy of it? Yes. And we should be saying, yes, he's worthy. Is anybody else worthy of it? No. Not like our God. Yet it seems like everyone else but God, many times, gets our sacrifice. You have to ask the Lord, am I sacrificed? But notice Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the, what's the next word? Sacrifice. Let us offer the sacrifice of what? Praise. Oh, I tell you what. May God give us a revival of praise. May God give us a revival of praising him. May God give us a revival of singing praises to him. And I praise God for the time of singing that we can have. But don't just sing on Sunday at church. If you don't have one of our hymn books, we'll get you one. They're not very expensive. I mean that. You should have one of these hymn books in your home. And you should be reading these hymns and memorizing them and praising God and giving some time every day to praise God. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Continually. Continually. How's your praise life? Are you sacrificing for any time for God? Number one, our body. But how about our praise life? You know what? We're experts at complaining. My hand's up. I'm trying to work on that. God helping me. Let's stop complaining and start praising. Yes, there are things that you think should be changed in your life and I think should be changed in my life. But God is in control of my life and God is in control of your life and God is worthy of my sacrifice of praise. One more, two more. Look at verse 16, same text. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such what? Sacrifices. God is well pleased. The sacrifice of good works. Of good works. Helping people. It doesn't always just have to be necessarily going out and soul winning. Although we're for sharing the gospel, I'm just saying that we need to give a sacrifice of to do good and to communicate that. For with such these sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we see there was a praise for giving, and it talked about sacrifices. Letter A, as we go back to our text, Philippians chapter 4, letter A, the praise for giving was number two. Letter A, the needs were met. Paul's needs were met from heaven. Heaven sent the supply through the Philippian Christians. How are your needs met? Same way. God supplies all of our need. It comes from heaven. No, I went to work and I worked 50, 60 hours this week. Yes, but God gave you the air to breathe. If God says, no more breath, guess what? No more job because you're in heaven. God gave you the ability, the capacity mentally to do the job that you do. You didn't create that. God gave you that. God gave me the ability to be able to sit down, and many of you as well, but to be able to sit down and prepare sermons and prepare Sunday school lessons and put effort into that. I am not a pastor because I was in church when I was born, and so I was. This is all just the way. No, this is all because of God. It is because God's mercy. It's because God's provision that we have anything. All of it is from God. The needs are met. We could paraphrase verses 18 and 19. I'm not changing the Bible here, but just think about this. You met my need, and God is going to meet your need. You met one need that I have, but God will meet all of your needs. You gave out of your poverty, but God will supply your needs out of his riches and glory. God is not a debtor to anyone. The needs were met. Letter B. Not only that, but worship was offered. Worship was offered. giving to the Lord will always be an odor of a sweet smell. You see that? When this offering plate comes by every Sunday and the ushers come down, that's time to worship. We're worshiping God in our giving. And if we're, let me just say this lovingly, but if we're not giving our tithe, it's not a sweet smell to God. Because why? Because that's robbing God. That's robbing God. That $10 of every $100 belongs to God. That $20 of every $200 and $100 of every $1,000 and $1,000 of every $10,000, it belongs to God. So, yes, I'm putting in the offering, but are you tithing? Biblically tithing, that's 10% of everything you make should be going to God. And when we obey God, it's a sweet savor and a sweet smell to Him. Their worship was offered. This verse takes us back to the Levitical priest and the sacrifices they would make. Let me read a verse to you from Exodus 29, verse 18. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. Our offerings are not to the church. They're to the Lord. Now the Lord allows us to use these offerings to pay the rent here. Praise God. To pay the rent at the office, praise God. To pay two pastors' salaries, praise God that we're able to do that. And many other things, printing gospel tracts, etc., all of these things, to God be the glory. It was an acceptable offering. It was a sacrifice and well-pleasing offering. I've got to move here a little bit. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. J.L. Kraft. Anybody ever had Kraft cheese before? You've heard of that small company that makes cheese? Yeah. J.L. Kraft many years ago said, the only investment I have ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord. So we see the results of giving. We see the praise for giving. Number three, we see lastly, the equipping for giving. Verse 19. How are we equipped to give in the first place? It's all of God. We can't give without God. It's all of God. Our God supplies the provision that we need to give. Letter A, God's supply. And by the way, God's supply never runs out. God supplies my need when I give to Him. Adoniram Judson said that the future is as bright as the promises of God. You know, there's a promise right here. What is it? My God shall supply all your need. That's God's promise. Who's this for? It's not just for Paul. It's just not for the Philippians. It's for us today. God has a promise. Give and it shall be given unto you, Luke 6:38. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. God's going to take care of us. I came across this somewhat humorous illustration called the stingy disease. The stingy disease. This disease, cirrhosis of the giver, was discovered in AD 34 by the husband-wife team of Ananias and Sapphira. If you're not aware of Ananias and Sapphira, read Acts 15, 1 through 11. It is an acute condition that renders the patient's hands immobile when he or she is called on to move them in the direction of his wallet or purse from thence to the offering plate. However, this strange malady is clinically unobservable in such surroundings as the golf club, the supermarket, the clothing store, or restaurants. I don't think we have a group full of stingy disease people here, but I thought that was a humorous thought. Hey, God's given me everything He's given me, not to just put in my pocket and not share it with others. Hey, every good gift and every perfect gift, James chapter number 1, verse 17, is from above. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Letter B, we see not only God's supply, letter A, but we see God's storehouse. God's storehouse. As a result of having God as our Heavenly Father, words cannot describe what we have available to us. Hey, God is not concerned about the same things that we're concerned about sometimes. We worry, that's a sin. We should never worry as a Christian. Why? Because God is our Heavenly Father. He's got it all under control. Trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is still there. Amen? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Spurgeon said, I have a great need for Christ, and I have a great Christ for my need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. Is that true? It needs to be. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. He's all I need. We have a great need. You have a great need today? That need can be met through Jesus Christ. The greatest need we all have today is eternal life. If you died today, don't answer this out loud, but think about it. If you died today, would you be in heaven? If not, you have a great need. You need to be saved. You might have been sitting in this church for 3 years and not be saved, just like that man was in that church in Monrovia, Liberia, hearing the preaching for 3 years, singing the songs for 3 years, but not saved. So much has been given to me that I have no time to ponder that which I don't have. That was said by a blind lady by the name of Helen Keller. So much has been given to me that I have no time to ponder that which I don't have. What do we have in Christ as we close? In Christ, we have a love that can never be diminished. Excuse me, a love that can never be fathomed. In Christ, we have a life that can never die. In Christ, we have a righteousness that can never be tarnished. Why? We have His record now. In Christ, we have a peace that can never be understood. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. In Christ, we have a rest that can never be disturbed. In Christ, we have a joy that can never be diminished. In Christ, we have a hope that can never be disappointed. A glory that can never be clouded. A light that can never be darkened. Boy, do we have a lot in Christ. Christ, we have a happiness that can never be interrupted. We have a strength that can never be enfeebled. We have a purity that can never be defiled, a beauty that can never be marred, and a wisdom that can never be baffled, and resources that can never be exhausted. We have everything we need in Christ. As Paul said to the Philippians, our God will also supply everything we need. What do you need today? God has it. What are you missing in your life? God has it.